Morning. It's a real honor to come into your home or wherever you are this morning, and we're just greet you, you know, and we love all of you who watch from all over the world, and especially we want to greet the scattered congregants of Life Center who are honoring the decrees of our government that we restrict the size of gatherings. And if this continues, we are committed to coming up with a great strategy. You know, trouble is always an opportunity. Don't you know that? I mean, you know, someone could say, man, you're at risk. And I said, well, we're at opportunity. You know, we're about to plunge into something we didn't know was coming, but we believe that God has it all planned from the beginning. So join with me, and I want to speak this morning, and then we're going to actually go back into worship and release the blessing of God on you. And the blessing of God is more powerful than any attack or any curse of the enemy. So stay tuned. I want to talk about the refuge of his promise. And of course, I am literally thrilled that our president proclaimed a day of prayer. And, you know, that he made a proclamation. I actually got it in my email early this morning. And, you know, he's citing different scriptures to stand upon, asking God to pour out his mercy on all those who have suffered, asking God, you know, standing in the confidence of God's protection. And so we want to agree with that. I just thank God that we can come as a nation into agreement and pray for our nation. So this message is to fuel your faith for prayer. Not only is today a day of prayer and fasting, but that we would continue praying through the week. And by the way, to correct that, he proclaimed a national day of prayer, not a national day of prayer and fasting. But we thank all of you that are part of the Jesus fast and are fasting, because it definitely adds fuel to the fire. And as Chandi displayed on your screens, isn't that amazing? Around the world, it might look like, whoa, that's the virus breakout. No, that's the Holy Spirit breakout. So we just believe that there's refuge in his promises. So Holy Spirit, would you come into every home, come into every place where people are partaking of this, whether it's in coffee shops or restaurants or cars or gatherings or out on a park someplace if it's nice weather, and just enjoying this day, God, that this day would be a day that actually strengthens the body of Christ, that actually accelerates the momentum toward revival and reformation, not only in our nation, but in the nations of the world. Pray that my words would be simple and clear, and that everyone would be strengthened in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to say special greetings to my loved ones in Boca Raton, Florida, who are watching online. Pray for me. All right. So sometimes we get really afraid. Things happen. People are freaked out. If you watch the stock market is like an emotionally unstable individual. I mean, you know, if someone else went up and down at every bit of good or bad news like that, they'd be like, you might need some therapy. You might need some inner healing. And it was a joy to watch on Friday, happened to watch the president and the vice president and many leaders of corporations, you know, talking about a strategy. And in 20 minutes, where we were watching, and it showed the Dow Jones average went up 9% during that 20-minute talk. I just thought, this is incredible. I mean, I was happy that people were getting confidence, but we want the confidence to be in God, not in, you know, how brilliant we are. And thank God for brilliant human strategists that have been planning this thing for a number of weeks. And I do want to say this, because a number of people have asked me, like, what is the big deal? You know, it's just the flu, like, you know, not that many people have died, and that's all true. And I don't know the answer to that question, but my understanding at this point is It's trying to get ahead of the contagion factor. Because even though it's just a normal flu, in some ways it's not a normal flu. In the other ways, it's more related to like the SARS epidemic that happened in the mid-90s. But as I understand, not only are there severity of for some people who are in those stages where they don't have a strong immune system, but the second thing is that the contagion factor is off the chart. You know, it's like four or five times as contagious as a normal flu. So I'm hoping that we're all pushing the pause button, they're getting ahead. And I'm just thankful that I think there's something in that God is doing to humble us. That, you know, we're just not so confident that we got it all together, and he does. We don't, but he does. Okay, so I hope I didn't offend anybody by my little Charles Stock analysis there. I want to just say this to everyone who is nervous and to all those who aren't nervous, just to fuel your faith, that God rules over history. He rules over, you know, the broad aspects of history, and he rules over the minute parts of history. You know, I mean, Jesus told us he's counted the hairs on our head. And he knows it, and he knew it before you knew it. You know, he knew the number of hairs on your head before you had hairs on your head. He's the Lord who knows the end from the beginning. So he's in charge, and the enemy has never been in charge. And if you're in a place where it's not going to be disruptive, you could just shout that out in your home, that God is in charge and the enemy is not in charge. So a little reference, the book of Psalms was written for rough times. I mean, the book of Psalms, it was written over hundreds of years. David wrote many of the Psalms and others, but the Psalms were collected and put into their current order and form, perhaps by Ezra or by a group of editors after they returned to Jerusalem from 70 years of captivity in Babylon to rebuild the temple. And they realized, we no longer have a throne. But all these promises are about a great anointed king. We, you know, they had a temple, but for centuries that temple wasn't operating. And they said, we need to create something that people can use as a prayer book that will fuel their faith in the promises of God. And they compiled these songs that had been collected, written by David. These are like 3,000-year-old amazing songs that still speak to us today. And Psalm 90 was written by Moses 3,500 years ago. It's still good, you know. And some were written after they returned, when the Lord turned again our captivity. We were like them that dreamed, and our mouths were filled with laughter. And so it's amazing how much strength that people have gotten through the millennia from the Psalms. So I recommend, during hard times, read the Psalms, meditate on the Psalms, sing the Psalms. Amen. So I'm going to read. The Psalms begins with this word, blessed, Psalm 1:1. It was put there on purpose as the first word of the longest book of the Bible. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the individual who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who's not just going with the flow of their culture and accepting everything that's coming out of media or politics or education, but they're saying, no, their delight is in the law of the Lord. They find delight in the promises of God, and they meditate on it day and night, and they are living in a different reality. And Paul said it this way, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. I think Jesus said that. Okay, so, but it says when we do that, we're like a tree that never withers. We're planted by a stream, an underground canal that was dug straight to us from heaven that makes us fruitful and makes our life entirely different. It says, this person who does this will be like a tree planted by streams of water that has fruit every in its season, and its leaf doesn't wither. And I just want to prophesy that over you, that as you focus your life in the Word of God, your leaf will not wither. Your ability to do what you were created to do will not wither. And it says that in all that he does, he prospers. Or it actually, it might be speaking about the tree, that the tree fulfills what it was meant to do, and you will fulfill God's purpose for your life. Psalm 2 talks about the turmoil that's always around us. It says, why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Why? Because this world is under the influence of the fall and the evil one who was let loose by our, you know, great ancestor Adam, okay? And so, but you know what? God's not nervous. In fact, Psalm 3 says he sits in the heaven and laughs. And he holds them in derision, like, really, that's your plan? And he just, you know, he lets them do it for a while, but he laughs at them. This psalm, Psalm 2, it ends with, blessed are all those who put their trust in the Lord. But this psalm is very key because in a hard time of persecution in the book of Acts, this is where they went for prayer. Acts chapter 4, verse 23, John and Peter were arrested for preaching the resurrection, and then they were released. And when they went and told everybody about it, they started worshiping God, and they prayed Psalm 2. Lord, why do the nations rage against you and against your anointed? And then they declared God's sovereignty over history. Listen to this, Acts 4, verse 27. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod, that would be the Jewish leadership, and Pontius Pilate, that would be the Roman leadership, and along with the nations, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel. So all these people gathered together, they all hated Jesus because of what he was doing, and it said, they were doing it out of the evil intent of their heart, but God was in control. And so verse 28 says, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. So it's amazing, you know, even when people like rage against the Lord, God knows what the evil intent of their heart will be. He knows what kind of tree they are, what kind of fruit will come from that. And he's got it all factored in to his plan. And so they declared that. So we would think that they did it and poor God. But God said they did it, poor them. Because now, you know, he was raised from the dead and he destroyed death. Verse 29, now Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your servant Jesus. So Father, right now, I just release faith to everyone joining us online, to all those in the room here, that there would be a faith to move into healing signs and wonders at a fresh new level, that you would stretch out your hand against this attack of the enemy, that he will regret the day that this happened in Jesus' name. And we declare that trouble is an opportunity for God's glory. And, you know, what I'd like to do is just go through Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is an amazing psalm of comfort in any time of trouble. And it's written for times of trouble. So it's a place that assures us of refuge in any storm. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation because it just makes it so clear. The first couple verses, there's actually three parts to this psalm, and the first two is the psalmist speaking personally. Psalm 91:1, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. God is Most High and he's Almighty. He's the perfection of wisdom and goodness and strength and power and foresight. That's what Most High and Almighty mean. Almighty means there's not a stronger word you can use to describe the perfections of God. And we rest in his shadow. Isn't that amazing? And then verse 2 says, this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. God and I trust in him. So we just release that, and I declare it that he is my refuge. And we've been through, my own walk with Jesus, which is getting close to 50 years. He's never failed us yet, and he's not about to. Now beginning with verse 3, it addresses your refuge. And so these are his faithful promises are your refuge. Listen to this, verse 3. He will rescue you from every trap. I like the more traditional translation says snare of the fowler. You know, a fowler's snare. Now, not too many people here are professional fowlers, but they used to spread these gossamer thin nets in little mountain passes where they knew birds were flying, and the birds would come flying into it. They were set up and they couldn't see it. It was a trap to catch them. And so it was part of the culture 3,000 years ago, not part of our culture, but it's saying God is protecting you from every setup that you don't see coming. He sees it coming. All right, he's going to rescue you from every trap, and he's going to protect you from deadly disease. Now, they say deadly pestilence, but so far, not too many people. My doctor never came in and said, well, you've got a pestilence, but they did say you have a disease. He will protect you from every deadly disease. I declare that there will be no biological warfare that succeeds against you or your family. Verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers and shelter you under his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Shield and buckler is a more traditional translation of that. First, what does it mean he'll cover you with his feathers? And then, again, if you have chickens or you grew up, watching birds, what he's talking about. When our children were little, we lived in the foothills of Northern California, we had chickens. They weren't very good egg layers, but they were chickens nonetheless. And what they would do if a red-tailed hawk was flying over the vicinity, the mother hens would stretch out their wing and spread their large feathers. Some translations call them pinions, so that the hawk, looking down, didn't see those little vulnerable chicks. And I'm telling you, God is spreading his feathers and his wings over you and your home so that the enemy who's going around looking for something to devour like a predator won't even see you, in Jesus' name. Okay, so do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at noonday. And so we just break off fear of the coronavirus. We break off fear of the economic and sociological impacts. We declare that you will be blessed, that you will be under the protection and blessing of God. Do not be afraid. Do not dread. And then at verse 7, this is a pretty stunning statement. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. And we just declare that these evils will not touch you. Right now, wherever you are, you can say amen. You can go, God, that's me. You can lay hands on yourself. If you're with your children, you can lay hands on them. I'm sure you've washed your hands, and we're not going to stop being human beings. All right. So what does this mean? This is what God is saying is, I have protected you in everything. And we need to understand that when Jesus and when Paul and when Peter and John and all the people who helped Paul write his letters were considering the scriptures. Their scriptures they were considering were what we call the Old Testament and very often the Psalms. And so they were being breathed out by the Holy Spirit, making them applicable to our lives today. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection, your shield and buckler. I like the traditional one there. The shield was large, and the buckler was a small mobile shield. Or some translations say your shield and your wall, or your bulwark, and so either way, God's got you covered in a stationary way, and if you have to travel, he's mobile protection wherever you go. And I love, it's his promises, his faithfulness, his promises. Psalm 119, verse 50 says this, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life." And so I just want to pray right now for anyone who feels afflicted. You're wondering, do I have an upper respiratory infection? Is my nose running? What are the symptoms? Do I have fever? And I'm just addressing that God's promises will give you life. I release the life of God God is compassionate. When he sees us in trouble, when he sees us straggling around like sheep without a shepherd, his heart is moved with compassion, and his promises give us life. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 50, you can write that down. Do not be afraid. It's for you personally. Do not be afraid of the terrors by night, nor of the arrow that flies in the day. These are things we don't see coming, I guess you could see an arrow coming if you were paying attention, but I'm telling you, nothing is going to strike you that you didn't see coming. I declare that there's a protection over you, and that Jesus is with you. Oh, so I want to just read to you, why do we have so much trust? Like, these are big promises. Well, listen to this. God's in charge. Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Do you know what all things means? It means everything. It's not like God gets caught off guard, like, wow, I didn't see this coming. He's scrambling to come up with a strategy. No, he knows it's coming, and he will cause all things to work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those who love him, that it's like, so if you love God and you're being called by his purpose, you qualify, and God is meticulously working all things together for your good. And then if we jump down to verse 31, it says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And that's important. What shall we say to these things? We say, God is for me. He's not against me. It's a good thing to remind yourself, if bad news comes against you, your defense is your faith. This is our victory, even our faith. In this world, we'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Everyone born of God overcomes this world, but the victory is our faith. So when these things happen, what we say is, God is for me, not against me. What shall we say to these things? God is for us. He's not against us. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also freely, graciously give us all things? And so now if we move on to verse 8 of Psalm 91, it says, just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Like, you're promised you won't be punished, but it says, open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who's my refuge. No evil will be allowed to befall you, nor plague come near your tent. This is the New Living Translation. Now, what does it mean, the see how the wicked are punished? So are people getting sick being punished? No. The wicked is the wicked one. And the way he's punished is by his plans being frustrated. He is punished over and over again that the thing that he thought, okay, we got him this time, that God turns it around and it ends up for your good, not for your bad. And once again, he's frustrated, and the Lord is laughing about this in heaven. It's just, do you understand? We're not talking about wicked people. Someone could be used by wickedness, but it's just saying, God is he's going to punish the devil. How's the, by frustrating his plans, if the thief steals and he's caught, he has to pay back sevenfold. So we're just declaring over any of you that, man, you've been touched, you've been hurt by this, and you just start saying, God, I believe I'm going to see the punishment of the wicked one. I'm going to see it happen, and I'm going to see the reversal of this situation. Just open your eyes. This is the promise of God. Because you've made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, no evil will befall you. No plague will come near your tent. And you might say, well, it's already in my tent. Well, it's not supposed to be there. It doesn't mean you're bad. It just means the enemy is a crook. And so as you begin to declare the word of God, it gives you life and it releases his kingdom. Okay, you're getting kind of quiet. Okay, I know you're at home thinking about it. Okay, so I love this. Verse 9 goes on, if you make the Lord your refuge, the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. And I just declare, no evil will conquer you, you will be more than a conqueror. And this goes back to Romans 8. You know, there's an interplay here. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No! In all these things, we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And there's always this mystery of, you know, this is the mystery of iniquity at work in the world. Like, we have these promises of God, they're all good, but our experience is, God, I'm in suffering. And so how do we defeat the devil? We defeat the devil by glorying in our suffering, by just saying, God, this is awesome. You are going to do something that makes the devil regret that he ever touched me. You are going to increase the character of Christ in my life. You are going to use this for your glory, and I'm going to say it is well with my soul. When peace like a river or sorrows like sea billows roll, I will, whatever befalls me, this is what I'll say. It is well with my soul. That's the victory of faith. Okay, so let's go on and we'll finish up here with Psalm 91, verse 11. You have miraculous protection. This is a promise of God. It says, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. And I just, you know, speak that out when you're getting out to go. Say, God, thank you that you're ordering your angels to protect me wherever I'm going. You're ordering your angels to protect us as we go out and about. You're ordering, especially for those working in the healthcare industry, those who are first responders, before you go out, just say, God, thank you that you're ordering your angels to protect me wherever I go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample on lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. This is what Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10. He said, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions, and nothing will by any means harm you. And then the Lord, now the last part of the psalm is the Lord actually making a pledge to those who just cling to him in love, who fix their love upon him. He says, verse 14, the Lord says, I will rescue or deliver those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. They will call and I will answer. I will be with them in trouble, which means you have to be in trouble for God to be with you in trouble. But what the promise in this is, when there's trouble in this world, but when we're in trouble, God's in the trouble with us. He's protecting you from the desire of the enemy to destroy you. I will rescue and I will honor them. I will reward them with long life. We declare that over you and give them my salvation. And it won't be salvation that you only see when you die. It'll be salvation in the here and now. Come on. And so we're going to bless the Lord. We're not going to forget his benefits. And what we'd like to do, and we're want you to participate in this if you can, but we want to bless you because there's power in the blessing of God. And I'm going to give you just a little background here on the blessing that's in Numbers 6, chapter 6. And do you know, God told Moses to tell Aaron and whoever was the priests to bless the people. He told them to bless the people. And so they did. And we'll be saying it and singing it here pretty soon. But do you know, when they were blessed, they were blessed. And once you're blessed, you can't reverse a blessing. You can break a curse, but you can't break a blessing. And so even Jacob blessed was blessed by his father Isaac, even though Jacob was sneaky and he didn't get the blessing in the right way. Once he had blessed Jacob, when Esau came, Jacob said, I already blessed your brother. I have set him over you. And then he came up with a different blessing for Esau. But later, so this is in Numbers, where God tells Moses, have Aaron bless all the people. Why did they need to be blessed? Because later in Numbers chapter 22, 23, there would be a prophet who was being paid by the king of one of the enemies of Israel to curse them. He was being offered so much money, just curse these people because I'm afraid of them. If you curse them, then they won't. And so Balaam would go up on these mountains and have a big altar, and then he would curse. He would wait upon the Lord to curse the people of God, and he couldn't curse them. And he tried it three times, and the king got so mad at him and said, what are you doing? And here's what he said. He said, God is not a man that he would lie. He's not human. He's not going to change his mind. I have received a commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I can't undo it. And Ephesians chapter 1 says, you have been blessed with every blessing in spiritual places. And so what we're going to sing together, this Aaronic blessing, I hope you memorize it, I hope it becomes part of your daily life, that you speak it over your family, your business, your children, yourself, because God has already commanded that it be spoken over you. Wherever you are, if you're in a place where you can stand, you might want to stand. And before we sing it, I'll just read these words to you. The Lord bless you. This is Numbers 6, 24, 25, 26, out of the New International Version. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, that you have everything you need. Lift your hands. These are holy hands. Holy Spirit, I pray there would be a release of boldness and faith. There would be a release of healing grace. There would be a release of miracles, signs and wonders, that as this event has caused a scattering of many large churches and small churches in America, that your people would go everywhere proclaiming the good news, not being discouraged, but being encouraged as they see you doing signs and wonders. I thank you, Lord, for a special grace on healing, a special grace on healing, and a boldness and a joy and an overflow of hope that there will be a better day coming because there's favor on you and on your family and on your children and on their children and their children for 1,000 generations. Thank you, Lord. Just we pray this would be an increased wave of healings and blessings. And I know, I don't know who I'm talking to because it's online, but I feel like there is someone right now that you are having like abdominal cramping and pain, and you're quite concerned what this might be. And right now the Lord is releasing his grace, and that pain is stopping and the affliction is leaving in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray there would be a release in your people of words of knowledge and nudges from the Holy Spirit to pray for people, that this would be a season of increased treasure hunting everywhere. God, that you would just light people up as we're going about our day, that there's someone who needs a word of hope. There's someone who is ready to believe, who needs healing. We thank you, God, that in this time, I mean, do you understand? If you think you're afraid, you have the hope and you have the promises of God. I just pray the Lord would flood your heart with his compassion for all those who are afraid and don't know him, and that this will be a season of great harvest, and that you'll see people just coming, asking for prayer, asking for help, wondering why you're so full of joy in the midst of all the trouble. In Jesus' name, I want to close this with just this blessing. May the Lord bless you with grace and peace, power and protection, health and healing, holiness and godliness, abundance and prosperity, and all the fruit and gifts of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.